This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن وله بعد. Yes, go ahead, read the hadith. Hadith Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر أن لا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. متفق عليه. Narrated Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look at those who are less fortunate than you, but don't look at those who are more fortunate than you, so that you will not underestimate the favors of Allah, so you will not underestimate the favors Allah has bestowed upon you, agreed upon.
This hadith, that he just read, this wording of the hadith is reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. It's not in al-Bukhari or Muslim. The one in al-Bukhari or Muslim, at least the copy that we have. Al-Bukhari or Muslim has so many copies, and Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, as I said many times, he might refer to copies that we don't have. You know, and might be these copies have different wordings that we don't have. But what we have right now, this wording is not in al-Bukhari. What we have now, a different wording where the hadith goes like this. And this wording that I'm going to read right now, it's in al-Bukhari and Muslim as we have them. إِذَا نَظَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى مَنْ فُضِّلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَالِ. If one of you looked at someone who has been favored upon you, if إِذَا نَظَرَ, so it's not the hadith that we have. He says أُنظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ, look at those who are less fortunate than you. But the hadith actually in Bukhari Muslim that we know about, he said if you look at someone who has been favored than you with wealth and khalq. Khalq, it means body. Okay? He's more healthier. He has health, and you're not. You're sick. Okay? Or he's, mashallah, tall and strong, and I am petite and small, and I'm not, I'm short. You know, he's, mashallah, no matter what he eats, he stays the same size. I eat a little bit, like a couple of, you know, things, and you go out of weight. There is people have different. You know, mashallah, his hair is so soft, your hair is, you know, not soft. So when you look at those who are higher than you in worldly matter, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one in Bukhari Muslim, he said, you immediately قال فلينظر إلى من هو أسفل. If you see someone who's been favored upon you, look at those who are less fortunate than you. فلينظر إلى من فضل فلينظر إلى من هو أسفل من ممن فضل عليه. Those who are less fortunate than you, and you have been favored upon. يعني you have been favored comparing to them. So you have much better situation than that. That's what's in al-Bukhari or Muslim. He says, the one we have in Sahih Muslim, انظروا, look at those who are less fortunate or lower than you. Okay? But do not look at those who are higher than you, lest you belittle the favors of Allah upon you. Look. Don't look يعني with your eyes or thinking. Okay? I found it interesting. Sometimes people actually go search to look at those who are been favored يعني or higher than you. They go search all these fancy, you know, palaces, yachts, you know, wealth. And people like to know about those people's, like, luxury life that they have. And فهو أجدر يعني أحرى وأحق. More likely, you will basically most likely, if you look at those who so rich and very higher than you, you will basically belittling the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed upon the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. قوله ألا تزدروا belittling. الازدراء, it means to belittle thing. You know? ترى الرجل النحيف فتزدريه وفي أثوابه أسد هصور. You look at the skinny guy, Yusuf, you look at a skinny guy and you don't pay much attention to him. But that skinny guy that you see in that cloth, under that cloth, Asadun Hasur, he's a very aggressive lion. So don't be judging people by their look. Then he said, Man huwa fawqakum, those you look at those who are above you. Above you, as we said in Bukhari Muslim, in wealth and basically feature. Also, some ulama said al-khalq could mean children, family. So those Allah bless them with children, with family, in any worldly matter. طيب, what we can learn from this hadith? And I will share, and you guys more than welcome to share as well. First of all, this hadith came after talking about interacting with people, accepting invitations, giving salam, you know, all the rights of the Muslim upon one another. So that means we're going to be close to one another. We're going to interact with one another. So when we interact and we became social with each other, we're going to find a fact that is no way this fact will change, which is there is poor and there is rich. That's why these social ideas that socialist and communist, you know, came up with, or extreme socialist and communist came with, there is a movement, now nobody really buying it, the communist idea, you know, when they came and they said that all people would be equal. You know, they made, the first of all, that was lie. Because always the member of the communist party are very rich. And any in Soviet Union in the past, and those people who come with it, this is not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah have made some people higher than others and some lower than others. So there is boss and there is an employer and an employee. There is rich and there is poor. There will be always basically these differences between people. So that idea that all people became rich is not going to happen. And all what communists try to do actually, make all people poor. You know? So that also, it makes no sense. But there will be this. So this hadith telling you, when you come and you start interacting with people, you're going to see people not only rich, you're going to people are favored with so many things over you. People have so many talents that you don't have. People have things that they don't have. There is countries have things that other countries don't have. Okay? So how we deal with things like this? In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that's why he brought this hadith to basically to give, make sure that this principle is so clear in front of us. One of the benefits that so many times we forget about the blessings that Allah have given us. Why? Because we keep looking at what other people have in their hands. I'll tell you something. If you always look at what people have in their hands, you will never look at what you have in your hands. When you ever always look far, you're never going to look near. Okay? And that, what happened? When you always look far, when you always look at what people have in their hands, what will happen to you? قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أجدر أن تزدر نعمة الله. You will not value the ni'mah, the blessings that Allah have given you. You will not value the blessings that Allah have given you. There is a man in the history. SubhanAllah, this person His life is very interesting. Okay? His life is a very interesting life. This man is named known as Ibn al-Rawandi. Ibn al-Rawandi. وهو من ملاحدة المسلمين الذين كان على دين الإسلام وترك دين الإسلام. Ibn al-Rawandi used to be a Muslim and he ended up leaving Islam. Some people said that he repented before he died. Allah knows his situation. But Ibn al-Rawandi هذا was one of the most intelligent people that you can ever think of. Okay? And mastered so many different science. Ibn al-Rawandi هذا one day was sitting on the bridge of Baghdad. To make the point, when he look at what people have in their hands, he forgets about what he has in his hand, and he will belittling what he have, will not value what he has, what he or she has. So Ibn al-Rawandi is sitting on the bridge of Baghdad, and he sees this, mashallah, caravan and horses. فَقَالْ لِمَنْ هَذَا Belong to who? They said, لِغُلَامِ الْخَلِيفَةِ This is the boy of the Khalifa. Okay? عَتِيق ibn طَلْق أو طَلْق ibn عَتِيق He said, wow. Another group of servants and maids and, you know, جواري, wawa. Wow, they look so beautiful. Who are these? You know, all these servants and maids and all this wealth and money, so fancy. They said, this is for the boy of Al-Khalifa, Talq ibn Atiq. He said, yeah, and he became so angry. This boy, who just used to be a slave of the Khalifa and freed by the Khalifa, has all this while he is like cooking from inside. A man passed by him, and he saw him dirty and sitting. He gave him what? Raghif. He gave him bread, like a loaf of bread. He said, that boy gets all this, and I got a loaf of bread, and he threw it in Baghdad's river. Was so angry, and he didn't eat the whole day. يعني this is the only food he had or was able to eat. So he ended up, subhanAllah, يعني hungry the whole day. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال الله تعالى, وَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَلَهُ السُّخْطِ Anyone who's upset with Allah will remain upset. It's going to change nothing. And he became so angry. Why? Because he doesn't value what he had. He doesn't see the blessings he had. This man was one of the most intelligent people that you can think of in the history of humanity. Not Muslims, I think in humanity. To the extent, Al-Mubarrad, which is one of the top scholars in Arabic language, said, this Ibn al-Rawandi stayed with me 1 week, studied with me 1 week. قال لو جلسني شهر لجلس مكاني وجلست مكانه. If he would stay 1 month, I will be his student. That's how intelligent he is. I'll give you, just since we have Dr. Abdullah with us, I give you a couple of things about how this man is. كان عنده صرع. He used to have seizure. He came up with the idea before his time. The medicine that is known to humanity was based on some Roman or Greek philosopher's idea. Come up with this idea that you have in your body four elements. If any imbalance in these four elements, you became sick or died. That's the theory. Heat, water, air, and I forgot what's the fourth one right now. Huh? I don't know what's the fourth one inside your body. I couldn't remember right now. So, Bukrat, I don't know also how they pronounce it in English. This philosopher came up with this idea. And that became the medicine. So you're sick because one of these things get imbalanced. If you're completely imbalanced, you die. He came with the idea, he said, no. Actually, your sickness and death can be caused from inside and from outside. There are things outside your body, attack your body and make you sick. For the first time, actually, somebody speaks about a concept of viruses, which was discovered not long time ago. He came up with another idea. He said, constantly there is something in our body fighting these foreign elements that are trying to kill us or to weaken us, like white blood cells, like your immune. He come up with the idea of the immune system way before any Western or Europeans or anybody came up with that idea. And you talk about someone who basically was living in the 9th century. Okay? And he has seizure. So he wrote, he said, I think one of the ways to cure my seizure is to expose my sickness to another sickness. He said, what if we bring two sickness inside the body and they kill one another? Less than 100 years ago, we came up with the idea, 100 or maybe even less than that, came up with the idea that cancer cells, how we kill cancer cells, by bringing another cancer cells to it, that it kill it. So this man, to speak about things like this, that just modernly we were able to speak about it, that's a genius. لَكِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنْ أَفْسَدِ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. But he was an absolutely ungrateful person. Evil, astaghfirullah. Nothing but dunya. He wrote a book to prove that the Quran is false and Muhammad is false and he's not a true prophet. And he said all these prophets were liars and they have mental problems. The Jews in his time, it had been said, paid him to write a book called Zumurrudah. Allah knows, but that's what's been said. And Zumurrudah is a book that he criticized the Quran and he proved that Muhammad is not a prophet and the Quran is incomplete. And he used to make fun. He said, Who said that the Quran is a miracle? Nobody come up with the Quran? He said, the poetry of so-and-so better than Inna A'tainaka al-Kawthar. He said, who can come up with Socrates' book? Who can be like, all these philosophers? Ajib. And he got in fight, then he decided to write a book against the Torah. Then they paid him double the money not to write the book. Then he became an extreme Shi'i Rafili. Then he left Islam completely and he became atheist. When Dhahabi wrote his biography and he mentioned what al-Mubarrad said, he said, قَاتَلَ اللَّهُ الذَّكَاءَ بِلَا إِيمَانٍ وَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِي الْبَلَادَةِ مَعَ التَّقْوَى. May Allah curse intelligence that bring no faith. And may Allah bless a slow person who's righteous. You're less intelligent, not very smart, but you're righteous. And that's how he ended his biography, rahimahullah. Anyway, so my point is, it's just show you how he became so unhappy. Happiness, I'll guarantee you, will never come to those who fail to appreciate what they already have. Comparison make finding contempt million times harder. When you always constantly compare yourself to other people, you live in misery. You live in tiredness. You always compare yourself to other, to others, to others, to others. It becomes so exhausted. What you need to stop to get out of that cycle of doom. Also, from this hadith, okay, it's so important when it comes to interacting with people. Why? Because if you always look at what other people have better than you, you basically kind of look at them and admire feel so hungry for what they have and so upset with your situation, okay? You will never look at yourself in a positive manner. You always say, why I'm not this? Why I'm not this? Why? When you constantly say, why I'm not, you will not find the time to say what I am. Because all what you talk about, what I'm not. I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. So you will not appreciate what you have. Okay? And when you became so negative like this, people don't like to deal with you. Nobody wants to be around someone who's so negative, who's so not content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given him. Also, one of the important points for this hadith, to understand this, قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تنظر إلى من هو فوقك في الدنيا. Don't look at those who are higher than you in dunya. It doesn't mean you should not be inspired by success. So I look at, for example, a successful rich man. Okay, I look at my uncle. I look at some community members who became so successful in their business and inspired by that, to know how to be like this. You know what? For example, Khalid will say, I'm so inspired by so-and-so, and I want to be like that person, a scientist or a scholar. I'm so inspired by someone who made so much fortune, or a good, I'm inspired by Hakim al-Ajwan, and I want to be like him. I want to inspire by this soccer player or that basketball player, you know, and I want to be like that. I'm looking at them not because I envy what they have, not because I look at them so I can be inspired, so I can look at the thing that I have and develop it. Okay? So don't ever think that this hadith, يعني إن الإنسان ما يكون عنده طموح. Insan does not have an aspiration or inspire to be better. No, that's what this hadith might talk about. This hadith established a very important fact, which is, if you're not happy with what you have, you will never be happy with what you don't have. If you don't learn to be happy with what you have at hand, you will never be happy even if you get things which is you don't have. You have to teach yourself to be content, to be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given you. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يملأ عين ابن آدم إلا التراب. Nothing will fill your eyes until you die. You will never be filled. You will never be feel like, خلاص, I got to the top of it, until you die. You always have something. You go farther, farther. I want more, I want more, I want more. So you need to learn how to be content. قال سعد بن أبي وقاص لابنه. سعد بن وقاص said to his son, my son, إذا طلبت الغنى فاطلبه بالقناعة. If you want to be rich, learn how to be content. Because contentment, مال لا ينفذ. This is wealth will never come to an end. وإياك والطمع. فإنه فقر حاضر. Don't be greedy. Because greed, it means that you will always live in poverty. وعليك باليأس. فإن لم تيأس من شيء قط إلا أغناك الله عنه. And give up things quickly. Don't attach your heart. You know what is not working? Just let it go. Just learn how to let it go. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Move on. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sa'nuqa said to his son, anytime you do that, Allah will replace you with something better. Allah will give you something better. He who is contented is rich. Remember that. Al-qana'a kanzun la yafna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said fi surah An-Nahl, man 'amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibah ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Those who live, who do good deeds from male or females, while they have faith and iman, we will let them live a good life. Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi said, what good life means? He said, al-qana'a, to be content. That's a good life. Alhamdulillah. I do my work, I do my part, alhamdulillah, what I get, I'm happy with. فسرها علي بن أبي طالب أيضا بالقناعة. علي and الحسن البصري, all of them said, good life, it means to live, to be قنوع, be content with what Allah SWT has given you. That's why النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, قد أفلح. Indeed, achieve success. من أسلم, those who submit themselves to Allah. ورزق كفافا وقنعه الله. Allah have given him little, but he's still content with what Allah have given him. Reported by Muslim. To be content it doesn't mean you don't desire more. No. It means you are thankful for what you have and patient for what is to come. That's what al-qana'ah is. Say this again. Is to be basically thankful for what you have and patient for what is to come. One of the lessons from this hadith, life, in life we will always have someone who's higher than you and someone's lower than you. What you really need to focus on is to focus on the akhirah. That's why in the akhirah you make sure none of your peers above you in the akhirah. That's the real competition. Your peers. Yani, I make sure Umar will not be above me in Jannah. I'll make sure that Yusuf is not above me in Jannah. We're all like competing to be in the top. You see? Your peers. Also, remember, it is normal. That's life. Everybody will have ups and downs. Yuhka, it has been said, a man said to people who complain, oh, you know, my life is not going good. And he doesn't know that other people also, their life is not going good. So why the Prophet said, look at those who are less than you. So you can understand the fact that this is how life is. Allah gives and takes. Allah gives you from something and takes away from you. So those people keep complaining to the sheikh, wise person. So that wise did what? He gave a piece of paper to Muhammad Sa'd. And gave another piece of paper to Ahmed, and Muhammad, and Umar, and Abdullah, and this one. And he wrote everybody, he said, and Aisha, and everybody. He said, write down your problems in life. This man wrote one problem, another. You know, everybody wrote his problem. Then he put it in the pot. He mixed it, and he said, now you come and pick one of the problems. Let's switch. You take my problems, and I take your problems. You think everybody's... Because when you see someone, mashallah, you know, have so much wealth and stuff, you think everybody has his issues. So when everybody pick one of these papers and open it, he said, no, give me my problem back. I don't want to live his problem. Everybody said, no, alhamdulillah. Ya Habibi, khalas. Take your problem. I don't want to live somebody else's problem. Also, Islam asks us to look at those who are lower than us in dunya and don't look at higher than us in worldly matter. But when it comes to faith, when it comes, listen carefully, to manner, adab, to knowledge, to beneficial things for us, we should look to those who are higher than us. Yani, when I tell you, you need to make sure that you're a good Muslim, you didn't tell me, yeah, I have my cousin who doesn't even pray. You know what? At least I put hijab, somebody doesn't put hijab. At least I made hajj. At least I'm Muslim, he's not even a Muslim. You don't do that. You look at those who are higher than you when it comes to, you know, I tell, for example, Umar, you need to be courteous. When somebody asks you something, do something, you said, thank you. He said, Baba, you know, I see kids in school curse. At least I don't curse. That's not standard. When it comes to khuluq and to deen, you always look at higher. Rawat Tirmidhi in his sunan, actually in his jami', an Amr ibn Shu'ayb, an Abih, an Jaddih, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen, خصلتان من كانتا فيه كتبه الله شاكرا صابرا. If you have these two qualities, Allah will write you down as or put you down as a thankful, patient person. من نظر في دنياه إلى من هو دونه فحمد الله. You look at your worldly matter and you see those who are less fortunate than you and you say, Alhamdulillah, for whatever you have favored me, Ya Allah, with. And when it comes to their deen, ومن نظر في دينه, when it comes to the religion and morality. He looked at those who are higher than them, فَاقْتَدَى بِهِ. Start copying them, competing with them, want to be like them. قال وَأَمَّا مَنْ نَظَرَ فِي دُنْيَاهِ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَهُ فَأَسِفَ عَلَى مَا فَاتَهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُكْتَبُ شَاكِرًا وَلَا صَابِرًا. So the first one is the grateful, thankful one, patient one. The second one, the Prophet said, those who look at those who are higher than them in the worldly matter, and they feel sorry for themselves, and they feel bad about themselves, and they want what other people have, you know, and just envy them, this is not a patient person, not a grateful, thankful person. Also, it is allowed to look at those who are higher than you, as I said, in things to learn from their success, to learn from their experience. Somebody, for example, mashallah, lost a lot of weight, he's healthy. I ask what kind of diet that you do, what kind of exercise that you do. Mashallah, you're very successful in your business. What did you do right? So I can learn from you. Also, I want you to know that when you look at those who are less fortunate than you, your heart will be in rest. But when you always look at those higher than you, you're always tired. And this doesn't bring you happiness. Believe me, happiness is not about having more than what other people have. Happiness is to be more happy than what you have, with what you have, with what you have. The more happy with what you have, it brings real happiness. Happiness doesn't mean that you have too much or too many things. Sometimes we are very wrong about this with our kids, and I'm guilty of that. We think that buying too many things to kids make them happy. That's not true. There is a study was made by BBS, I guess. Is that BBS, the British one? BBC, yeah. They did a study on kids. A kids in San Francisco, a kids in Japan, a kids in Africa, center, like somewhere in Africa, East or West Africa, and a kid in Tibet, Central Asia. And they compared their life. The San Francisco and the Japanese kids, laptop, robot, you know, cell phones, all this kind of thing. The kids in Africa and the kids in Tibet, they have nothing of these things. No cars, no electric cars, no toys like that. They made, you know, like what we used to do in the old days, you know, we put like wheels made of the cover of the, I don't remember, that's like you know, the cover of the bottle, you know, the bottle, the Coke, the glass one. There was like a metal cover. We used to take them and make holes in them and put a stick and we run it like that's like a car. We make a car like that. You know, that's so happy. Like, you see, I saw a kid that day, you know, have a cell phone made of like a wood, you know, and this is the toy, like this is his cell phone somewhere in the world. So they have not much, but guess what? The study shows that the one who lived in Africa and Central Asia, much, much, much happy. They are very happy kids comparing to the San Francisco one and to that Japanese, the Tokyo guy, kid one. Having more, it doesn't mean it will make your kid happier. What it does, it make your kids don't value what they have. So we have to learn that. Someone is happy with less than what you have. So that means happiness doesn't depend on how much, on how many things you have. One other thing I want you to pay attention to it when it comes to look at those who are less than you in marriage. But don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking you to settle for a bad marriage. But sometimes I noticed one of the things that ruin marriages is people start having all these dreams about the perfect husband, the perfect wife, which is inshallah in Jannah, but not in dunya. There is nobody perfect. So sometimes, you know, these some sisters or some brothers what they say, oh my God, you know, this guy, his wife, this and, and he likes looking at imaginary things sometimes. But you know what? Alhamdulillah, your wife is a great woman. Look at what less than you, and you will appreciate what you have. Also, one of the important things about why you don't look at those who are higher than you, so you don't envy them. Envy is the first sin in the heavens. What's the first sin in the heaven? Which is Iblis envied Adam. And on earth is the first sin, which is the son of Adam, envy his own brother, and he killed his own brother. That's right. I told you before, somebody asked me, if he killed his brother, so that means we are all the sons of that killer? That's so bad. Yeah, and we are all the son of that killer? If he killed his own brother, what about the, yeah, and so the rest of him came from that killer? The answer is no. Adam alayhi salam, it's been said, has 100 sons. So these are only two of them. But doesn't mean that he had only these two. Okay? Some said he had even 1,000. Anyway, also, I want you to remember what I'm going to tell you now, because this is also a golden rule. What you look at people have and possess, sometimes it's not what you think. You imagine things. There is a word used, if I would write a word with a golden ink, it would be this statement. By Imam Ibn Miflih. Ibn Miflih, Ahad Abaqirat al-Dunya fil Fiqh. One of the smartest faqih I ever come across in my life. Okay? Ibn Miflih said, Isma, listen. العين تريك فيما ليس عندك ما ليس فيما ترى عند الناس. العين تريك فيما ليس عندك ما ليس عند الناس. Your eyes show you things which is not real. What you see at other people's hand, you see it in a perfect way, and in reality is not perfect. يعني for example, somebody look at this woman in a haram way. He look at her what? Perfect. But the reality, she's not. One time somebody came to me in a restaurant. And he's, Jeh, astaghfirullah, this woman, yani, Muslim and Arab. And she is like, look how she's like not dressed properly. And I know he's so liking it. It really got his attention. It really got his, like, touch his heart. Okay? But he's, like, trying to cover this by being so righteous and astaghfirullah, udhu billah, all this kind of dua. But I know in his heart he really like it, like her. Yeah. And he's, like, much older than me. So I said, I said to myself, I have to teach him a lesson. He's, like, so, like, you know, impressed by her. So when she came to serve us, I said, what's your name? And I talked a little bit. Then she laughed. I said, did you see that? He said, what? I said, did you see her underarm? He said, what do you mean? He said, there's a big stain here on her underarm. And she came again. I said, did you see? When she come again, look, she has so much stain, and she has all this hair in her hands. It's just like, man, I made her look so terrible, astaghfirullah. And when he looked at this, it's a big stain. It's like so disgusting, actually, for her to come like to do that. But my point was not about, I want to teach him a lesson. When you like somebody, when you're like, oh, excited about that, you don't see your ayn turika ma laysa fi ma tara inda nas. Your eyes will show you things that not even exist. And if you look carefully, you will see that it's so different than what you think it is. That's why shaitan, he will make a person cheat on his wife with a woman so ugly, so dirty, so disgusting. It's like a public toilet seats. Everybody come and pee on it. And he will go cheat with a woman like that, and he will leave his pure, beautiful wife. And she will cheat on her husband, who is so dedicated, hardworking man, a good husband, a good man, with a pump or a loser, best know how to talk, maybe a couple of sentences. It just, when reality hits, oh my God. Because the shaitan make you see. So sometimes when you look at those rich people, we think, oh, their life is perfect. No, Habibi. They have drugs, they have stress, they don't go to sleep. I know one of the billionaires. Okay? I saw him in a wedding, and I noticed, wallahi, I'm not exaggerating, it's like this. And I don't want to mention his name. I don't mind. It's Walid ibn Talal. We're in the wedding. He's a multi-billionaire guy. Every few minutes, he's like, and he goes, like, move, and he sat down. So I asked one of his relatives, and he said, actually, he has a form of disease. He can't stand. He can't sit put. He can't sit put. He has to stand up. It's so nerve. He has to take some, like, medicine for it. You know what? You think those people perfect life? No. But you see what people have. You see in what is people have in their hands. What's not real. It's just delusion that you think it's perfect. But it's not. It's far away from that. You think these players, like movie stars, you think they have a good life? You see him in the movie and everything perfect, but the reality is not. Reality that they committed suicide. Who? The comedians. What is his name? The famous guy who died, who committed suicide. He's a comedian, happy. Yes.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
One of the benefits of the hadith, that the hadith shows us the importance of remembering the blessings of Allah all the time. You remember it in different ways. First, you remember the ni'mah of Allah upon you. Then you basically sigh and you remember who gave this to you. For instance, so many of us live in a stable family. That's right. You know what? There's a lot of people who have no father, no mother. When was the last time that you reflect upon that ni'mah, a blessing? You know what? Alhamdulillah, you're healthy. There is people who can't come to the masjid. You know what? You live, There is so many kids are in refugee camps, killed, injured, in war zones. There is kids basically kidnapped by, you know, may Allah protect all our children, kidnapped in young age by gangs and to be raised to be gangs and to be professional thieves and to be used in all kind of ugly criminal life. Alhamdulillah. You complain about, you know, your health, whatever you have, you remember, this hadith encourage us to always think about the ni'am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, remember the blessings of what Allah protect you from. So the ni'mah could be what you have, and the ni'mah, the blessing also, what didn't happen to you. The things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from. Allah protect, I was sick. It could have been a disaster outcome, but alhamdulillah didn't. I'm very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith should not ever be a reason for us not to aspire to improve our life or to be lazy or to live in poverty. That's not what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-ghina wa a'udhu bika min al-faqr. He said, Ya Allah, make me rich and Ya Allah, protect me from poverty. So that's not a goal to be poor or no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rich, it means be basically sufficient. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, to leave your family rich and have money better than to leave them poor. Also, if the hadith telling us not to look at what people have in their hands from wealth, from health, from whatever blessing that they have, okay? Because that's make you basically belittling the things that you have in your hand. Also, it makes you kind of envy them. Also, it's a waste of time. So what if they have all this? What benefit that you get? I just want to know. You know, there's TV shows is all about what? Rich homes and rich houses and all this. What's the benefit of that? Just watch this. It just make you, you know, unless you get some ideas for your home. But what's the benefit of that? I think that also can lead me to say, أولى من ذلك to say, what happened when you look at what people have in their hands, you try to copy them. And sometimes when you try to copy, it's not only about you belittling your ni'mah, it can mislead you. So what do? You go and you want to copy that person. Like I know someone told me once, I want to buy this car and this car and this car, like hundreds of thousands of cars. Then I ended up getting him Honda. Okay, I said, buy Honda. Why would you go, you know, high? Sometimes you spend, and that's people who have. Sometimes people don't have. They ended up what? Putting a credit card. Put it in debt. Just because he wanted to be like those rich. You know what? My cousin had her wedding in this hotel, look at men who are higher than them. Okay? So what he do? He goes and he do his wedding also this fancy and he get in all these debts. You know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with money, capable to buy this car, capable to do this vacation, capable to do that. Why would you look at this and you try? One of the problem when looking at this kind of lifestyle that you can't match, that you start doing things beyond your limit or beyond your ability. And that's a big problem that we have today. And guess what? That will lead you in the end to be in misery and stress and debt and so forth. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله من أصبح منكم آمنا في سربه معافا في جسده عنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها. At-Tirmidhi reports that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you woke up in the morning and you are safe at your home and your country where you live, mu'afan fi jasadi, no diseases, and you have the food and the expense of your day, you have been giving the whole entire world as if you own the whole world. Because what you need more than a food and sufficient and clothes and to be safe and to be healthy. Ya Akhwan, if you can go to bed on your own, not because you need medicine and drugs, and you can go to bed on your own, and you woke up by yourself, you need someone to wake you up. You don't wake up because of pains. No, you wake up on your own. And you go to the bathroom by yourself. You don't need help or aid to go to the bathroom. And you can walk on your feet. You are one of the kings of this world and the queens of this world. These only. If you can go to the bathroom by yourself and you walk up from your bed on your own, wake up from your bed on your own, and you can walk on your feet, and you can go to bed also on your own, I believe you are a king and a queen. Also, one of the reasons for being content, or how to achieve that contentment level, is not to be a waster. It's to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not to look at what other people have always. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ هَؤُلَاءَ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Don't stretch your neck and look at what people have. This is zahra. What zahra means? Zahra, which is? What's zahra? Zahra. Flower. If you pick a flower, how long the flower lasts? The best in HEB or the Sam's Club tell you, put the sugar, blah, 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 10 days. That's the dunya. Few days. What they have in their hands, that's basically the reality. Also, those among us who complain about poverty, less money, less fortune, I just want you to make this comparison between you and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know who you are, I don't need to tell you, and you know who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Sah? I don't need to make comment. You know who yourself, and you know who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said, كنا لننظر إلى الهلال ثم الهلال ثم الهلال. 3 months, 2 months, ومو أوقد في بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نار. We don't have anything to cook. All the food that we eat for 3 months, uncooked food, which it means date, milk, there's no bread, there's no meat, nothing can be cooked. They said, Ya Aisha, no fire in your home for 3 months? No cooking? What do you guys eat? She said, we eat most of the time water and date. Not even milk. Al-Aswadan. Ta'am wa Nabisa Aswadan. 3 months straight. Nothing. And sometimes our neighbor will give us milk. They will milk it from the sheep that they have or goats that they have as a gift to us. Aisha said, Mata Rasulullah. Don't think this is in the beginning. He died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا شَبِعَ مِنْ خُبْزٍ وَزَيْتٍ فِي يَوْمٍ وَاحِدًا مَرَّتَيْنٍ. She said, Rasulullah died, and yet he never ever was able to eat bread dipped in oil twice a day. He never had enough bread to eat it twice a day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bed was made of what? Qishr al-nakhl. You know the trunk of the palm tree. You know these leaves on it. Just cut it. That's how he sleep on. Umar radiallahu anhu saw marks on the Prophet's side in Sahih Muslim. And he cried, he said, Ya Rasulullah, those Persian kings and Roman kings are on silk and fancy beds, and you like this on the floor, and I see the mark in your side from your bed? That's the lifestyle that he had. You know what Hassan al-Basri said? I entered the Prophet's house when I was about 14 years old. When I jump, I touch the ceiling. That's the Prophet's house. من عرعر أوساج, that basically the roof holes. Ibn Umar said, once I was in the top, I can see through it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the lifestyle that he had. Not many clothes or shoes. So just to make this comparison. So you know how much you are blessed. And I can't get enough of saying, it's not about not to aim for a better life, but it's all about that you be happy with what you have and thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you have. Because you have a lot. And if you can't see that, you will never see, no matter what you gain in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ja'alna wa iyyakum mimman yanduruna da'iman ila man huwa fawqahum fi ad-din wa ila man huwa asfal minhum fi ad-dunya wa an yuqanni'na bima razaqana وأن يرزقنا القناعة وأن يجعل عيشنا كفافا صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.